Welcome to Aetherius Radio Live, the Hour of Truth with Richard Lawrence and Chrissy Blaze.
A very warm welcome to Aetherius Radio Live, brought to you on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio on every third Tuesday of the month. Discover the cosmic message for this age revealed through legendary master of yoga and world-renowned medium, Dr. George King, between 1954 and 1997. Today, your host, Richard Lawrence, will be joined by our regular guest, who is actually here in London now, Brian Kniep, Executive Secretary at the American headquarters of the Aetherius Society and co-author with Richard Lawrence of Dr. King's biography, The King Who Came to Us. They will be discussing a very topical subject, as will be explained by its very title, 50 Years of Operation Prayer Power. So without further ado, I hand you over to Richard and Brian.
Thank you, Nikki. And I'm delighted to be joined here at the European headquarters in London, where we're doing this from, by my very good friend, Brian Kniep. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you, Richard. It's a real privilege to be here. And thank you, Nikki, for producing, as always, these wonderful shows.
And, of course, as I think, as Nikki said there, Brian is the Executive Secretary of the American headquarters. And so what a great thing. We're coming together. We're always in touch with each other, Brian and I, but we've been looking forward to this show, haven't we, for some weeks now, Brian?
Well, it's all because of the fantastic happening next weekend for Operation Prayer Power.
That's right. So on June the 30th, and by the way, we particularly want to welcome new listeners to Aetherius Radio Live tonight, because we have some absolutely fantastic news for you if you are new to Aetherius Radio Live and new to what we do in the Aetherius Society. This is the 50th anniversary of a wonderful mission, which everyone who's able to get to one of the locations where we do this, of course, can join in with. It's not closed. It's not secret. Everyone is welcome. And 50 years ago, actually on June the 30th, 1973, this mission began. And it began in a place called Holston Down. We call it a mountain. It's more of a hill, really, over the Bristol Channel in North Devon. And believe it or not, Brian, I was actually there 50 years ago.
You must have been 12 years old.
Three, I think. I just joined the society. I was at university and came down for it. And, of course, Dr. King was there. So it was extremely exciting. But this is extremely exciting. And in particular, it's wonderful that we have people are traveling over from all over the world. I mean, I mean all over the world, from Sydney, Australia, from Ghana, from, you know, yourself and Ashima and others, from Los Angeles, from Michigan, from Canada, and other countries in Europe and so forth, and as well as our people. And also we are hoping that there will be dozens of new people on the mountain on Sunday. That's this Sunday. It's Holston Down, North Devon. You can get all the details from the website, aetherius.org. Starts at 12 noon, but do get to the mountain, the bottom of the mountain if you can.
If you can possibly go, because you will not want to miss this. It's going to be an amazing, beautiful, and powerful event for sure.
Yeah, you know, we over here, of course, up north over the border, we have this thing of called the Gathering of the Clans, you know, up in Scotland. And I was thinking this is kind of a gathering of the clans, and then I realized we've only got one clan, and that's all of us worldwide. So it's a gathering of the clan, singular. And the clan includes, not by the way, just our members, but anyone who's open-minded and, you know, sympathetic to the power of prayer, I would say, Brian.
Well, it's the power of prayer and spirituality and trying to help a world that is in desperate need of help.
Indeed, that's so true. So let me say that if you haven't already arranged to be there. We'd love you to join us. Please get in touch with us. We'll give you full details of the event, how to get there, and how to it's a very easy climb, but I know for a fact there are going to be people there who aren't even going to climb because of their health. And so there will be a service at the bottom of that mountain as well for people who aren't climbers. Although I want to stress here, it's a hill. It's a walk. It's not any kind of skilled mountaineering. Yeah. No. And so we're holding it on a weekend to enable as many people as possible to attend. So we had a choice, really, of the weekend before or the weekend after. And normally we would have chosen the weekend after, but that turns out to be just a week before the holiest day in the Aetherius Society calendar, July the 8th. That's the day we devote to the Mother Earth. That's another story for another time. But it does mean people traveling back to America, Canada, the other countries I mentioned, need a bit more time than to do it that weekend. Hence, we've done it the weekend before. So it's on Sunday, June the 25th. And I think I'm right in saying there's going to be 11 of us, I think, on the mountain who are actually present 50 years ago. And
that's
one of those, yeah, and one of those actually is our very good friend, John Holder. And I mention him because he was actually among the 12 people selected to be actually in a prayer team on that day. There's only 12 people in prayer. There were two prayer teams, one of five, one of seven, and he was in one of those. So he'll start the ball rolling with the first prayer that we do in this Operation Prepper on Sunday.
It's a complete circle with that, and it's going to be a great way to start the festivities.
Indeed. And I must mention, of course, that later in the year, 73, it was also inaugurated in America at Lake Powell on a particular beach. You know that beach well, I guess, Brian.
Oh, yes. We go there a couple times a year. It's a beautiful area. I must say, quite a bit more difficult to get to than Holston Down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure. But I imagine, would people have been camping on that occasion, do you think, or would they be going to a hotel?
The majority went to a hotel,
right?
And they actually—it was very rigorous. That's a long story, but it was a real. I wish I had been there, but I was not in Los Angeles at the time. But it was some amazing photographs and video from that.
Indeed, and we do have a message from somebody who was there. Actually, the person who built the apparatus that we used here and there at the beginning of the mission.
That's
that is
exactly right.
Charles Abrahamson.
Charles Abrahamson, yes.
Who's 93, I believe.
He'll be 93 this year.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, of course, the real credit for all this has to go to the person who invented it, who devised it. Someone both Brian and I were very honored to know well and to be close friends with as well as disciples of, and help him with the running of the society and other matters. But he really, I know that when he thought of this idea, and we're going to explain to you what exactly it is, please bear with us. He really thought this would catch on. He thought it was such an obvious thing, actually. He was a bit upset that somebody else hadn't thought of it before him at the time.
Yes.
So I remember hearing that. And he really thought that people would latch onto it in their droves. And I think that goes to show his faith that he does. He always had, despite everything really, in humanity and the potential of humanity. And so in a way, it was slightly disappointing to him because he did a lot of publicity in television and broadcasts and media, as well as lecturing around the country in the UK, and I believe in America too. I think up in Michigan as well as LA, in Detroit, I believe. But, you know, he was disappointed by the fact that it wasn't latched onto by literally thousands of people. But what I would say, the people who did latch onto it really latched onto it. And hundreds of people around the world then and now have been performing this every week, and I do mean every week. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself, Brian.
Well,
could
I want to just jump in there just for a second.
Yeah, please.
Because, yes, he was disappointed that it didn't catch on as much as he thought it should. But I think he has such a view of the future, and I think he's absolutely correct. It will catch on. Just it's not as quick as he had hoped. And I have to say, I think you would agree with this, is that when people come very often, more often than not, even for the first or second time, they are astounded at the energy invoked in these Operation Prayer Part charging sessions.
I would agree.
Electric and powerful and spiritual and uplifting. And I'm sure it will catch on, no question about it.
And it's something that really does help us to advance. And I think Dr. King actually said he's advanced us lives, and by us he means anyone who cooperates. And I want to stress, you don't have to be a member of the Aetherius Society, and you can have other spiritual beliefs that are maybe differ in some ways, and you can still join in with this mission. And as Brian said there, you can feel it. You don't have to even have faith or belief. You can feel it, isn't it? You'll experience it. And it's a very, very unique experience. But Brian, could you perhaps explain, especially for the newer listeners tonight, the modus operandi of Operation Prayer Power?
Well, it's a very simple modus operandi. Not necessarily easy, but it's very simple. And that is, you take this spiritual energy, which can be called prayer energy, which is invoked when people send a prayer out or send some love out, send some energy out. But what Prayer Power does is it captures that energy, and it will hold that energy in a state of it'll keep it moving. In abeyance. Energy keeps moving, but it stays in a confined battery and in a confined area.
Oh, compressed. You mean compressed.
And compressed. Yeah. It compresses as well. It holds and compresses and keeps it in abeyance and always moving, but in this battery, which is filled with tiny crystals. And the crystals are key in holding that energy, this great, powerful prayer energy. For as long as it is needed, it can hold it for hundreds of years if necessary. But the key is you compress it, hundreds if not thousands of prayer hours in this one battery, and it can be released hundreds of hours at a time and directed to where it is needed. It might be needed for a peace talk. It might be needed for a hurricane movement. It might be needed for relief workers to help people who have been hurt in a hurricane or an earthquake. And so that's the key: is you collect the energy, you store it and hold it, and then it can be released with tremendous force because it's compressed, and so you have hundreds of hours moving in a matter of minutes to an area that is needed. And that's the essence of this tremendous Operation Prayer Power.
Indeed, and it's a very simple concept. And, you know, it's a funny thing, Brian. A lot of people, they just don't think you can combine strategy and even science with religion somehow, some people. They don't. And yet
that's
that
true.
Was the hallmark, wasn't it, of Dr. King?
Well, it spirituality tends to be kind of iffy or whimsical on Earth and not so understood and hard to kind of hold on to and latch on to, where science is the opposite. You've got to see data and results, and it doesn't have so much soul. And our master, Dr. King, combined this soul of spirituality with this rigidity and this calculation and this ability to repeat with of science to create this very powerful Operation Prayer Power.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we have this sort of ability to respond at very short notice, as Brian was saying there, to crises of various kinds. Because a peace talk can just suddenly be announced. You didn't know it was going to happen. Suddenly they're gathered somewhere. You can target it if you've got the resources at your disposal. Again, very
That's
simple
right.
concept. To gather together, this is something that Dr. King spelled out, to sort of gather together 1,000 people for half an hour, to pray and have them in tip-top condition and ready and charged up, could be the middle of the night in some countries, is impossible, really. But if you've got
at some point, it should be possible. But at this
in the
point
future,
on Earth, it isn't. Exactly.
We don't even yet have people with that sort of commando attitude. I mean, there are some in the Aetherius Society, and by the way, we do it with special online activities, and people gather together and start praying. But it's, and that's great. But it's much more powerful, of course, when everyone is in the same building, if they're able to be, because you get the combined energy of people doing mantra and prayer together. And, and that's what we use, mantra and prayer, and we will come on to that and explain that. And so you get this combination of the, all the people gathered, and they're charged up, and they're people who practice. They're people who don't just sort of come along. You know, there are some people who don't think it makes any difference how you pray, really, as long as you pray. You know, you've got some words, you've got to say those words, they think. They might be in English, they might be in Latin, whatever they're in, and as long as they say them, the job's done. They might be thinking about their washing while they say them, but they've said the words. And of course, again, that's such an unscientific approach. We wouldn't do that with singing. We wouldn't do that with acting.
That's
we
right.
wouldn't do that with most things, but people think, some people anyway, think you can do that with prayer.
I know it's not logical, but and if anyone who goes to Operation Prayer Power and feel the energy of the mantras being recited in unison with concentration and love and exactness, it's a tremendously powerful experience. And likewise, if you hear the prayer team members delivering their prayers, it's beautiful and powerful, and can raise the hairs on your arms. It can be so beautiful and powerful.
Indeed. So the prayer energy is stored in a spiritual energy battery, as we call it. And Brian's explained there that there are crystals involved. We don't give. Now that's one aspect of it that is secret, is the exact specifications of how it's made. And it's not secret for any other reason than protection, because this is equipment that works. And if somebody, and I'm sorry to say that there are forces that have tried, even within governments, it's well known psychic research, they've tried to do astral projection, they've tried for warfare, they've tried to use telepathy for warfare, they've tried to use powers of various kinds. And that's on the record. And so therefore, these specifications aren't given, but the principles are simple. Crystals store energy. Anyone who's worked with crystals knows that. You can easily prove it to yourself. We run workshops on this. You can discover that again through experience. And it's a particularly refined method of storage using gold and crystals in a certain way. And so the energy then can be stored. It's placed in by a highly trained individual who's praying. They're using particular prayers that we call the 12 blessings. Probably many of our listeners will know the 12 blessings. If you don't know the 12 blessings, please check them out. They're wonderful, wonderful prayers. And we can talk about that on another time, but these are beautiful prayers. It's used for world peace, and then they're stored. And this means what? Firstly, when a disaster strikes, aid is required. We can pick our time to discharge hundreds of hours that have been stored in there by people, man and woman hours, whatever you want to call them, prayer hours, if it's what we call them.
Right.
And they can be discharged through another piece of equipment called a spiritual energy radiator. Again, carefully built. Go on, please.
That's the big key, too, you see. I mean, a lot of people do believe in crystals holding energy, but one of the difficulties and one of the genius of our master was to devise a means to coax and pull the energy out of those crystals and then compress it even more and be able to send it out in a very concentrated, powerful stream to the location that it is needed. That's the real crux of the equipment, shall we say.
Indeed, and this too is something that you can feel from time to time over the years. We have had various people, dozens of people actually, probably hundreds over the years, who have stood at a distance from a part of the spiritual energy radiator through which it's radiated, which mm-hmm. we call an antenna, and they have felt it. It's a tangible force. If you're used to healing, for example, you will know that sometimes a healer, you can really feel, first of all, you might feel the heat in the palm of their hands, but you can certainly feel the energy flowing mm-hmm. into you, if you're the patient, from that healer. Well, this is just as tangible as that, coming out, and if not more so.
I would say more. Yeah, definitely more tangible, yeah. Definitely. Mm.
Yeah. So this is the equipment that's used, but of course the equipment can't do it. It's people who have to do it. And so, for example, on Sunday, if we have maybe 150 people, it remains to be seen how many we'll have, on this mountain, Coldstone Down, and we have the battery, those 150 or so people will be putting energy through the person standing in front of the battery, highly trained individual, into that battery. It will be stored. And then when we need to, we can release it. We can pick our time. And within minutes, hundreds of people can send out effectively energy, but only because it's been stored there. That's the concept that Dr. King came up with so brilliantly. And, of course, there's another element about it which makes it different from even the most powerful of prayer rituals that most of us are doing, really, around the world. That is, we have a way of arranging cooperation with higher intelligences to manipulate this energy in the most beneficial possible manner. Would you like to say anything about that, Brian?
Well, I think that's a key. You know, one time I was talking to someone who didn't really understand. They knew about Operation Prayer Power, but they felt that they lost belief in it, believe it or not, is how us normal people could direct this quality, this powerful of an energy to create very, very powerful results. And that's really one aspect that our master left for us, which is so crucial, is we have a way of requesting help from higher beings around Earth who then can pick up this stream of energy and then decide how best to manipulate this energy, how best to use this energy to either help the Dybbuk Kingdom to change the course of a hurricane, or to inspire and strengthen individuals who are working to bring peace to an area, or to help peace workers, or I mean aid workers, to bring aid and you know, there's been stories of miraculous healings and discoveries following earthquakes and hurricanes, and these people are strengthened through this kind of spiritual energy. And so one of the big keys is to be able to have these beings who are able to know the best way to use this most precious energy that we have invoked.
That's absolutely spot on. And just to give an example, I'm just picking one here at random from a book called Contacts with the Gods from Space. I know it very well because I was honored to co-author it. But the important name on that book is Dr. George King, and it was the last book actually published in his lifetime and by him. And this is just one example I'm just turning to, because there's a list in that book of some of the results that had been achieved up to the time this book was first published. On October the 30th, 1983, there was a huge earthquake in northeast Turkey, measuring more than 6 points on the Richter scale. Tragically, around 2,000 were killed and many others injured and made homeless. Between October the 30th and November the 3rd, the Ethereal Society discharged 692 prayer hours to victims and to rescue teams in the area. Additional releases of 2,700 prayer hours by advanced masters using their own equipment took place. So this acted as a trigger for, I'm just explaining what that means, for other masters on this earth to release their own energy, because we'd done it. That's a karmic intervention.
Exactly.
You know, every step we
yes.
take, they can take two towards us. So they released this 2,700 prayer hours and to rescue teams in the area of the original and subsequent earthquakes. Now, reading on November the 6th, another earthquake in western Turkey, measuring 4 points on the Richter scale, caused damage to buildings and villages, but this time there were no fatalities. On November the 18th, a larger earthquake, measuring 5.6 on the Richter scale, again struck eastern Turkey. I won't read every bit of the detail here, from the area which had been struck on October the 30th. Remarkably, there were no deaths, and only 5 people were reported as having been slightly injured. So that's just one case I'm reading from this book, and you can see the difference between the people that were killed before we did Operation Prayer Power releases, 2,000, and then once we started doing releases at the end, okay, not too dissimilar, 5.6 points as against 6 points on the Richter scale, and there were no deaths, and only 5 people were reported as having been slightly injured. And this is the kind of thing that happens over and over again, isn't it, Brian?
Oh, it's case after case. There was one that happened which really struck me. It was in 2003, I think it was, Hurricane Ivan. And I was watching the storm track on this hurricane and was approaching Jamaica to go right over the middle of the island of Jamaica. And they were just incredibly worried about this. And the night before it was due to hit, there was just a warning that everyone had to be closed down, and they were just expecting the worst. And this hurricane, I was watching the track, like I say, after we released Prayer Power a couple of times, it turned to the left nearly 90 degrees. That's the eye of the hurricane turning 90 degrees, this course, and misses Jamaica. And the next day, there were reports from both the leader of the Red Cross and the president of Jamaica himself saying it was a miracle. And this is the kind of thing that Operation Prayer Power can do when people really work, and it is manipulated at exactly the right time.
The right time, and that's the key. We have the timing element, and then we have the cosmic cooperation by masters from this world, and especially from beyond this world, who arrange it. Now, just to sort of amplify that, people might say, well, what is the difference? And Brian explained it very well, this pinpointing by the masters of a particular situation. And if you think about it this way, if you send out some prayers, even if you are capable of sending out powerful prayers, will they do good? Of course they will. They'll do far more good probably than you can ever know. You might save someone's life if you say a prayer from your room tonight and not know it. So please don't underestimate that for one second. But if you had, so that energy then will have gone out into the ethers, as it were, and natural forces, we call them devic forces, will manipulate it to a degree according to the laws they follow, and it will go to the source to some extent. But if you have cosmic intelligences with their apparatus and their abilities to absolutely pinpoint, let's just say a meeting in the UN at the moment when certain forces are discussing a particular issue to do with a peace project, and this has happened, and you get unexpected results because they can target it at exactly the right place and exactly the right people, the right building, the right room of those peace talks. And likewise with victims of hurricanes and the other things we've mentioned, you have that added facility of targeting and very precise timing by these intelligences who we're able to cooperate with. Not that any of us, but I want to stress this, are claiming to be in touch with them, in the sense we're not claiming, as Dr. King did, to receive communications from them or to be channels for them. There's far too much of that out there, by the way. Yeah. And I'd say that with all due respect of people who genuinely believe they're in touch with extraterrestrials And sadly, they are not in certain cases. We're not ruling everybody out. But Dr. King was extremely unique. That's, again, if you read The King Who Came to Earth, you'll see why he was chosen and what was different about him and how he prepared to be a channel for 10 years before he even started and so on. It is a very big thing. It's not something that just happens on a weekend course somewhere. You have to really, really work and be a rather unusual person anyway to be able to do this. But what Dr. King did do is to set up with people like Brian and myself and some others around the world the ability to make arrangements, one-way communication, by us to them, following a certain procedure which we were taught, whereby we can arrange these things. And it is truly miraculous.
It is. And, you know, it's good to understand that there are beings around the earth and even beyond that desperately want to help mankind go forward, but they can't overstep the karmic boundaries. And so it takes something like an Operation Prayer Power or other things that can show that we're doing our part. We're taking, as you said earlier, our step forward. And then they can then take their steps forward and then take this energy and take it the rest of the way. Don't forget, we invoke this energy. So we are working hard to invoke it. And then we also choose the target. And we also, of course, built the equipment and we run the equipment. So we're doing a lot of work, and that helps them karmically to then take this next last step and manipulate the energy on our behalf.
Absolutely. I'm really glad you mentioned karma, because that is something I want to come on to, but we're going to be in serious trouble if we don't go to our producer now for her announcements.
Point.
We're halfway through, so Nikki, over to you.
I can listen to you and Brian for ages. Thank you so much both for the revealing insights into this incredible mission performed for over 50 years and still continuing. Absolutely fantastic. You are listening to A Serious Radio Live with Richard Lawrence and his guest Brian Kniep discussing 50 years of Operation Prayer Power. Once again, fortunately for the world, we will be blessed by the presence of the shining Temple of Light, satellite number 3, when it comes into orbit of Earth at 12 midnight GMT on Tuesday, July the 5th, to imbue us with its vital spiritual energy, potentizing all selfless actions by a factor of 3,000 times, and will remain in orbit until August the 5th. We will be welcoming these gods from space with our heartfelt prayers in a special service to mark the first hour of this second spiritual push for 2023, which will be live streamed from the Aetherius Temple in Los Angeles, details of which are on our website. As always, you're always warmly invited to join in with our services held during this period to send out this much-needed spiritual energy to our world. Well, as already mentioned by Richard and Brian, we're gearing up for the very exciting anniversary event celebrating 50 years of Operation Prayer Power when it was inaugurated on June the 30th, 1973. The pilgrimage itself to Holstentown is open to all open-minded pilgrims who want to be a part of Operation Prayer Power, and we're counting down the days when on Sunday, June the 25th, we will gather together on this holy mountain to celebrate such a spiritual milestone. So, as Richard said, full details, do contact us, and details are on our website, as indeed are many other activities being held by the Aetherius Society around the world. And for the next Aetherius Radio Live on July 18th, Richard and Chrissy will be your hosts for yet another exciting show entitled, wait for it, Paying Attention to the Galaxy, It Lives. Wow, that title in itself sends shivers down my spine. Anyway, that's it for now, and I'm very pleased to hand you back to Richard and Brian.
Thank you, Nikki. And I, just before the break there, Brian, you were talking about karma, And I think that's the next element that I'd like to mention, because when Operation Prep Hour started, Dr. King himself received guidance from the individual he called his master. Now, you and I have put forward who we believe that was. And in his lifetime, he said he felt it would be too revealing to reveal who that is. And it's our view, of course, that this was, as it were, a higher aspect, a cosmic aspect of Dr. King himself. But be that as it may, this is a master from another world who was advising Dr. King prior to the start of Operation Prayer Power, just a few months prior to it, actually at Lake Powell. And the advice he gave was, don't make this too easy for people. Now, that might surprise some people, because Dr. King had considered launching it at the headquarters in Hollywood, in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And he was told, no, this is just too easy. And that's where what I'm calling the karmic quotient really comes into this mission and makes a big difference. You know, we, during COVID, Brian, over here, you may have had the same experience, I don't know, but over here, we would normally do a pilgrimage to Holston Down, and we weren't allowed to, and we did follow government guidelines. That doesn't mean we necessarily agreed with government guidelines, but we did follow them over here, and so therefore we couldn't do this pilgrimage 1 year. But instead, we held extra sessions under the conditions we were allowed to, which was in London and in Barnsley. People came along over the whole weekend, and we actually found we got more energy into the batteries that way, because there was more time available to spend charging batteries in two areas. But what was missing was the karmic effort, the coming together of people, and making the pilgrimage to Devon, rather than driving from your home for 20 minutes or whatever it might be, parking a car and walking into a building. And so that's really a big, big factor, which can't just be measured in energy, but I do feel, though, could certainly be measured in results, Brian.
No, I agree. Karma is really the big thing on Earth, or anywhere else for that matter. But karma is the way we learn, and we have to, things can't come easily. We have to work for our experience, and we have to really get out of our way and leave our living rooms and our homes and be prepared to roll up our sleeves and do work. And in the case of Operation Prayer Power, you roll up your sleeves, raise your hands, and send out love and light and mantra. And you have to move and join others to do that.
Indeed. And, you know, some of the people who'll be coming to Devon on Sunday, they'll be making a tremendous... it's cost them money, it's cost them time, it's cost them travel, it's cost them a lot of effort. All of that effort, all of that time, even the money, the sacrifice made in any way to get there will help the results, the karmic results of this mission. And by the way, the same applies at all the sessions, whether it be in Auckland, New Zealand, in Michigan, in Los Angeles, in Barnsley, South Yorkshire, or here in London. The effort that people make to attend, and people make a lot of effort to attend some of these sessions.
Absolutely.
They'll travel for hours to get there on a Sunday afternoon, and then hours to get home again. Might be down to Cornwall or somewhere, another part, or it might be from Canada to get to Michigan or whatever
That's
it
right.
might be.
Yep.
These efforts are all part of what I've sort of termed just for this show, the karmic quotient. And it's interesting because the cosmic masters have to measure the degree of their intervention by the karmic effort made by terrestrial people. I mentioned earlier, I gave an example when I read from Contacts with the Gods from Space of the masters being able to send far more energy, 2,700 hours in that case, but it could be more than that. It could be 10 times the amount that we send out because we do it, because of our effort. So that's all the karma. It results, though, in far more energy going out. We don't know what energy we'll be able to be sent out by masters as a result of all the efforts that are being made this Sunday and throughout the year by people who come hell or high water, really, sometimes having to sacrifice events they really would want to go to, and
that's right.
Other people expect them sometimes to go to, and yet they make this their priority in their life. That is, and there's nothing new about that. That's gone on for centuries. You've only got to read about the Himalayan masters and the efforts people made to reach them and to learn, to receive a mantra at their feet or whatever. This is a very ancient concept. It's what pilgrimage is part of, anyway, what pilgrimage is about as a thing.
That's right.
And Dr. King really understood it, didn't he, Brian? It was his thing, wasn't it?
Oh, he was a genius at karmic manipulation. And, you know, the more that you and I have studied Dr. King's life, there's layers and layers and layers of genius karmic moves done by him and taught to us to be done by us. And that really is the key to not only our own development, but it's the key to the new world, the new age upon Earth.
Indeed. And, you know, the effort that people make, as I mentioned earlier, by improving their performance. The effort, by the way, at a session, and those who come along and just come along to LA or come along to London, and you can observe, and you'll see, you will witness, the people praying and the people doing mantra are making a real effort. They're not just sitting back and yawning and fidgeting and, you know, like you'll frankly see in some congregations. And they are doing this also not just at the session. They're working. They're practicing their mantra. They're doing breathing exercises, for example.
That's
not
right.
Just to, you know, as so many people do, to improve their own health or improve their own mind or to get closer to enlightenment, all of which is good, but they're doing it to improve their effectiveness as a channel for prayer energy, the universal life forces.
That's right. And of course, the more that you do that, the more that you're able to help others, then of course that will then make it much more powerful for you to go forward. It's all balanced.
True. And it comes back to Dr. King saying that he made a definite statement that he'd advanced us, by which he meant people who support Operation Prayer Power. And I want to come on in a moment, actually, Brian, to people who physically aren't able to attend.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to leave. They're not left out, by the way. If you can't attend Operation Prayer Power because of health, you're in a country and you can't leave it, or for some reason, you aren't left out of this. You can still support it, and we'll explain how in just a moment.
Important point.
Yeah, but for those who do, he said he's advancing us lives. And as Brian said, I think he said once actually that you could release the energy that at Prayer Power you'll be, and if you join in and you perform the prayers at the battery, for example, you could be putting out the energy of an adept of old.
That's exactly right. Exactly
you
right.
Know, it's an
and that's
amazing
staggering,
thing.
A staggering statement. But, you know, you can also quite often feel like that sometimes when you're in front of that battery, sending out energy into that battery. You feel like nowhere else. You feel like no other time in your life. But when you're in that room or on the mountain, even better, with dozens, hundreds of people around you doing mantra, and you're up there as a focal point for that energy, and then you put that with your love and your concentration into the battery, you feel like never before.
You do, and your consciousness is altered forever.
Mm.
It's altered in that moment, but it's a lasting thing. It doesn't mean forever you'll be walking around in that state. You won't, and you shouldn't really. But you can draw on it. It's always there within you to draw on. And there are two things, actually. There's the quantity and the quality of the energy that get enhanced by performance. Neither of those things some, frankly, orthodox religions are bothered by. But it's actually part of the science, if you like, of prayer. You can improve the quality. And when you're in a temple especially if you're in Devon on a holy mountain. It is a holy mountain. We haven't even touched on that, by the way. It's a mountain that was actually charged by Jesus, who came from another world and charged it. And again, you'll find all the information about that on our website and through our teachings. But you can feel the power of this wonderful master, one of the greatest demonstrators of prayer who's ever walked the planet. And, you know, you can feel that power. If you walk into one of our centers, you can feel that power, and you will be changed by it, as Brian said there. And it's a permanent change, and it's something you can draw on. And it's a road to enlightenment. So many people think, to gain enlightenment, they've got to break away, and they've got to go off on their own, and they've got to meditate. And that can be good. I'm not saying it isn't. I do it myself. It's a great thing to do. At times, we all, I think, on this path, need to contemplate and try and improve our inner consciousness. But in a group like this, you can raise your consciousness while serving. It's not either or. You're doing both at the same time, aren't you, Brian?
Well, that's the key. And in this time on Earth where there is so much need and there is so much suffering, then we can't just run away and think about ourselves. We have to stay back and help the people that really need our help. And we learn elsewhere in the teachings of the Aetherius Society that even though it may appear that you aren't growing or evolving as quickly when you hold yourself back and stay in the clatter of humanity, but you're actually evolving even quicker, though it may seem otherwise.
Indeed, that's a very, very important point. And let's come to those people, and there are genuine people. I mean, there are people, by the way, who've moved home in order to attend Operation Prayer Power, who've changed their
residence. Many people have done that, absolutely.
Yeah, for this reason. And those who've done this have performed a fantastic karmic manipulation for the benefit of others, which must also help them immensely too. So that's obviously an option if you're able to do it. But there are, of course, people who just, for whatever reason, they can't. It might be a health reason. It might be another really genuine reason. They can't perhaps leave a country, they can't maybe afford to leave a country to move, they can't, etc., get immigration, whatever it might be. And those people, are you part of Operation Prayer Power? Yes, you're absolutely part of Operation Prayer Power, if you want to be. You're not going to be a direct participant, but if you believe in this, and you decide to support it. Now, some support it with financial donations, but there are other ways too. If you support the Aetherius Society in one way or another, might be through prayer, it might be through a whole variety of ways, it might be through informing others of the teachings. If you do that, you are helping the organization which does Operation Prayer Power. So indirectly, you must be helping Operation Prayer Power.
You know, and I would say too that if you aren't able to, and you do, as you say, help as much as you can, I think you are paving a road for yourself to be able to be a part of Operation Prayer Power in the future. Maybe the near future, maybe the far future, but in the future for sure.
Absolutely. That's a very positive thought, and I feel I have to put another one out there. I don't really want to, but I think I have to, that if you have this opportunity and you don't take it, you're making it more difficult for yourself by the same logic, really. So that's not a threat at all. That's just a fact of karma. But let's look at it in a positive way, though. You know, by taking the most opportunity we can, because that's all that can be asked of anyone, isn't it? You know, I've always thought, Brian, it doesn't really matter what position you hold in a way or what exactly role you perform. Let's just say within the Aetherius Society for now, but it could be in other things too. As long as you're performing the role that you are meant to perform, long as you're performing the role that you're able to perform, that's all that can be asked of you. And that's 100% if you're doing that.
Well, especially if you're performing that role to the best of your ability. That's the real key, is to not feel that your role is in any way bad or inferior or whatever. It's to perform your role to the best of your ability, and then everything is in sync and everything will work.
That's very, very true. I do want to mention another word, if I may, and that word is love. And, you know, I've mentioned concentration.
That's a good word.
Yeah, it's a very misunderstood word, and if you really want to know what it is, you need to go to the Nine Freedoms, or indeed the 12 Blessings, but I would say especially the Nine Freedoms, which really explains love energy and what exactly it is and how we can all tap into it. And I think that regular attenders of Operation Prayer Power, or let's say supporters of Operation Prayer Power, are motivated by love. And that's a wonderful thing too, and it's so different from lip service. And it comes through the mantra, it comes through the prayer, it's infectious. If you're in a group of people who are radiating love, you feel it, and you want to radiate love too. And I think that's something that can get missed out there. Yes, concentration is vital. Energy transmission is vital, and there are ways of doing that. Visualization is crucial. But that love in the heart, that will really carry you through and make all the difference to a mission like this.
You're very, very right. And, you know, sometimes I think people who have gone to Prayer Power on a regular basis, sometimes you won't always feel up to it, or you won't feel that it's a real stretch to go to Prayer Power that particular night, but you know that you want to you should, and so you do. But every single time that I can remember that I've pushed through and I've done that, the feeling afterwards is, as you say, you are infected with this love, this energy, and though you might be tired after those four sessions on a normal average Prayer Power night, but you feel a glow of feeling that you've done something for the world, a glow I think caused by this love energy flowing through you, and it's a wonderful lasting thing that you're just on a spiritual high virtually, and that comes from that love energy. I'm sure of it.
I'm sure you're absolutely right, and it really is a force, and it's a liberating force and an enlightening force too. I'd like, if I may though, Brian, to end this, because believe it or not, we're coming towards the end, and I certainly don't want to encroach on our producer's closing remarks. That would be really unacceptable. So I would like to close with a beautiful quote, actually, that Dr. King made just prior to the inauguration of Prayer Power 50 years ago this year. So we're back in 73. It was published in a newsletter. It describes a golden thread that we could all weave into the tapestry of our lives by attending that inauguration. But I think the same principle applies to some degree 50 years on. And whenever actually a person chooses to start attending and supporting Operation Prayer Power. So may I read this extract? Dr. George King. If you imagine your life as a cloth interwoven with many different patterns in many different colors and shades of colors, stretching on and on and on, and if in the visualization you see a golden thread which starts at a certain time and continues on and on throughout eternity, then you have the significance in your life which would be brought about by your part in the start of an operation as great as Prayer Power will turn out to be. You have introduced into the cloth of life this imperishable golden thread, which will, unless you purposely cut it, stretch onwards forever and ever. A thread which can only be put there by you and only taken away by you. A thread which once introduced should always be kept on so that it gets stronger as lives pass. A thread which will give you the strength and power, either in this or the next life, to go forward to greater things will eventually help your feet upon the ladder of ascension. Aye, and even beyond that, into the cosmos. And this, no exaggeration.
Wow, that's a beautiful, beautiful reading there.
It's a very wonderful promise because for those, again, who are newer, ascension is the time when you escape the wheel of rebirth, or we all will, where we won't have to come back and be reborn here because we will have mastered life's experiences to the full, and we'll join the ascended masters, who, by the way, are men and women, and of all races. They're often called the Great White Brotherhood, but they're not. That has no reference to the color of their skin or anything like that. It's a very elevated, extremely advanced masters, such as the Lord Maitreya, the greatest of them all being the Lord Babaji, actually, who isn't even from this earth. And others you may have heard of, like Count Saint Germain and a number of others. These are masters who have actually ascended. And this golden thread that you can weave, if you are new, you can weave it into the tapestry of your life, and it will help you upon the ladder of ascension eventually. And likewise, people who've been coming for a long time can strengthen the thread that they've woven into the tapestry and make it ever more firm and ever more golden.
It illustrates the incredible power and importance, and I would say need, of Operation Prayer Power at this time on our world.
Absolutely, and I'd just like to close by saying we look forward very, very much to seeing as many of you as can make it as we sit here now, but I'm certainly, you can't take this for granted, especially in this country, Brian. The weather forecasts are quite good, but even if they aren't, we're still going up there. That won't stop us, and we've done it many times in various conditions. Let's hope it's a wonderful gathering, a coming together from all around the world of people of like mind, many of them members of the Aetherius Society, some of them not members by choice, but they still wish to support Prayer Power, some completely new. And whatever it is, doesn't matter. We're all there together, and every single one of you who's able to come will be 100% welcome.
And I have to say, too, being from Los Angeles, the venue, the mountain, is stunningly beautiful, with at least on a good day, beautiful views all around, and green and lush, and it's just a place to behold if you've never been there. So if for no other reason, and you aren't even sure about Operation Prayer Power, go. It'll be a lovely, amazing experience, and then you might be amazed and surprised at the power of the spiritual aspect of Operation Prayer Power.
Very true, and thank you very much for joining us on this show, Brian. And by us, I mean myself, and of course our producer, Nikki Wood, who I now hand over to.
Thank you, Richard. Well, thank you, Nikki.
Well, thank you, Brian. And thank you, Richard. I mean, it's such an inspiration, and the message there for us all. Yes, please. We are looking forward very much to welcoming those who are able to come down to North Devon. It'll be a fantastic, fantastic spirit of camaraderie, and you'll feel the power. And please, please, do feel welcome to come. And that's Sunday, June the 25th, and it's starting at 12 noon. At the top of the mountain. Absolutely brilliant. And as just a quick reminder again, please do join with us for the first hour service for the second spiritual push for 2023, which will be live streamed from the Aetherius Temple in Los Angeles. And again, that was a tremendous vehicle to send out much needed spiritual energy to our world. And as mentioned, something really exciting. Again, we have so many exciting things here on Aetherius Radio Live. Another exciting show. We've got Richard and Chrissy will be presenting on July the 18th. And here it goes again, this fantastic title, Paying Attention, to the galaxy. It lives. Wow, wow, wow. And if you'd like to find out more about the various facts and books mentioned on the show, please visit our website, aetherius.org. You can connect with Richard through his website, richardlawrence.co.uk, and with Chrissy through her website, astrologycity.com, and, of course, Brian Kniep through his website, briankniep.com. We really hope you enjoyed the show. And thank you so very, very much for listening. And we look forward to your company next month.